discovering stories of courage, determination, and hope. Welcome to Faith Radio's On the Road. Now, here's Ryan Thomas.
Life is short, I want to live it well. One life, one story to tell. Life is short, I want to live it well. And you're the one I'm living for.
Well, he's been a longtime presence on the small and the big screen, chasing justice on the beloved series Matlock, part of the intricate web of mystery on ABC's long-running Lost, and sporting an unforgettable mustache in the cinematic textbook film The Fugitive. But now, Mr. Daniel Roebuck has gone home to the Lehigh Valley of Pennsylvania, where he directed, co-wrote, and starred in the remarkable new movie Getting Grace. It's the story of a small-town mortician whose world is rocked by a rambunctious teenage girl who's dying of cancer as she plans for her departure and impacts the lives of everyone around her. The movie premieres across America this weekend, as you hear the interview, and will be on its way to a Netflix screen near you before you know what. And this good man joins us today. Mr. Daniel Roebuck, welcome to the show, sir. It's great to have you here.
What a pleasure. And if I could ask, is there any way you could hang out with me for the rest of my life and introduce me that way to everybody? I mean, every time I need to get a ticket changed at American Airlines, I'm going to just say, "Could Ryan please introduce me to these people? Because I need to go on a later flight." And then you say that nice stuff about me. That'd be great.
There is a small royalty fee, but after that,
I'm happy to pay it. Happy to pay it. What a blessing to be here. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's our pleasure. It absolutely is. And so many of us have seen your work on screen for decades. I mentioned before we begin, it's like every sort of interest that I have in film and television somehow ends up with your face on the screen. But the effort and the scope of what you've done here with this movie is really something else. Sketch us just a little bit of how you came. How did you end up undertaking this product? Or project, rather.
I like the word undertaking because I'm playing an undertaker. See what we did there? That's listeners. That's when two guys are on the exact same wavelength. They can just do that. So I didn't find the movie. The movie found me. I think God had intended me to make this movie. I got a script with someone was asking Mark Rupp, this amazing guy in Saginaw, Michigan. Sent me a script that was written by a man named Jeff Lewis called Bending Spoons. And it set up the movie with the funeral director and the poor girl dying of cancer and the other characters. It set it up so beautifully. And I loved the idea that it was initially a movie that no one had ever seen before. And so I asked if, you know, I had the temerity to say, could I direct it? And that was 9 years ago. So it took 7 years from can I direct it to Jeffrey wrote it, I rewrote it, Jeffrey wrote it, I rewrote it, till we got down to the script that we have now. And then, you know, we made it and here we are. Like, it's hard for me to even believe that it's opening on March 23rd. And we've been sneak peeking it right around the country. I'm in a big RV Winnebago. Maybe your listeners will see me. We're in Greensboro, North Carolina, the night that we're having this interview, and then moving on to Atlanta and Nashville and Ohio. But I've been showing the movie to you know, 100 people at a time to get them to see the movie. It's been quite a journey.
Mm. We sketched it out there just a bit in your response and then in the introduction, but sort of give us the directorial synopsis here of what this story is.
Oh, yeah. No, I think you did it really good. I mean, it really is about a teenage girl dying of cancer, goes into a funeral home to find out what's going to happen after she dies, and ends up teaching the funeral director how to celebrate life. That's the pitch. You know, they call that the elevator pitch. If you have to tell the story to the head of the studio in the 12 seconds between floor three and floor four. What ultimately Getting Grace is an allegory for God's grace and its universality and availability to all. I'm a Christian. I've raised Catholic. I'm a Catholic Christian. I appreciate all of the grace that God's afforded me in my life has brought me to this moment where I'm talking to you about this thing that I made. So I know it's real. Like I'm the zealot. I'm Simon. You know, I can tell you that God's grace is real. And I know that because I got to make a movie to say that it's real.
It's so cool. The voice is probably going to be familiar to you. You might be thinking, where have I heard this voice before? Well, that's Mr. Daniel Roebuck, the longtime Hollywood staple of the small and big screen, from shows like Matlock, Lost, and The Man in the High Castle, to films like The Fugitive. He's the director, the co-writer, and co-star of the brand new film Getting Grace in theaters this weekend. And as you hear this interview, and I'm coming soon to a Netflix screen near you. So
yeah, isn't that great? A Netflix screen means at your house. So you could just, you know, stay home. Although I've always, you know, going to the movies when the movie opens is helpful for the filmmaker because it reminds the people who are eventually going to buy it from us and put it on Netflix how valuable it is. But the thing that, you know, the world's changed, hasn't it? Like, we're getting all media directed toward us differently. And it's going to, Sony Home Pictures Entertainment is bringing us out on DVD in July. And then it'll hit all the other, they call them platforms, Netflix, video on demand. You won't be able, it's just like me, Ryan. You can turn the TV on every day. I'll be there. I promise. In something, I'm there. Even if you don't want me to be there, I'll be there. And if I can figure out how to get like in the Brady Bunch or Bonanza, I'll be in that too. I just haven't figured out how to get into the TV shows I love, not just the TV shows I'm on.
This is, I hadn't planned to ask this, but you make the point so well. You had to be a very, very young man in Matlock, didn't you? Because you're not an old man today, and some time has passed.
It's that so? Well, you know, people, it's weird, man. People say, you look exactly the same.
You do.
And I think, well, you're very kind. I mean, Matlock is 25, almost 30 years ago. And, you know, I raised two children of my own, and that ages all of us. I mean, let's be honest. You know, we're talking about faith. And so I'd be lying if I did not tell you that my hair really is white. But in the movies and on TV, you know, you want to look kind of the same as you do. And when I walk around with my white hair, it throws people. They're like, I thought you were Cliff, but you look more like Matlock. But I do, you know, if I could take a moment to just promote one other thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't smoke. I don't drink. I've never taken any drugs. So this is how you can really preserve yourself if you don't damage the temple too much. Mm. Now, obviously, I eat a lot. Look at me. I go up and down in weight. So I'm not saying I'm completely like a genius, but I have having cut those things away from my life, it certainly helped me be happier and healthier, no doubt. I'm not proselytizing that. I mean, I'm not saying, you know, we all get to choose what we want to do in life. But if you want to be my advanced age and kind of look like the guy on TV 30 years ago, you know, those are the things I've stayed away from, if you're curious.
Now, see, this episode of On the Road, friend listening, this, you are getting value-added broadcast content here this week from Daniel Roebuck. Now, so I promise.
But I can't pretend. I'm not perfect. I cut those things out. I still struggle with other things.
Yeah. No.
You know, carbohydrates. But I cut those things out.
Yeah. If you could see me now, you would understand we share that as well. Getting back to the topic at hand.
Yes, sir.
As Bill in the film, you are both the romantic lead and also sort of the buddy in the buddy comedy. And you direct yourself, right? So how do you thread the needle and sort of direct yourself to continue threading?
Now, it's an interesting question. I'll tell you that we created a theater group in our church in Burbank, California. I'd say you know, years ago we did plays at this church, and then I ended up being a member of the parish. And I said, let's do plays. So I've been directing myself for a long time. And it is definitely a skill that you must develop. It's not something that you just fall into. And I'm also, although others may argue, my ego is, you know, I have a healthy ego, but I'm not a narcissist. So,
gotcha.
Like, I know how far I can go. And then I surrounded myself in directing the theater, and even on the movie, I had my brother-in-law is a very talented director of photography named Corey Gariak. He worked on all those Chris Nolan Batman movies.
Wow.
He worked on Thor, Mission Impossible. He's a top-notch Hollywood guy. And so I had, you know, I had my sister's husband on the set. I'd say, okay, good, I think we're done. And then my brother-in-law would, like, wrinkle his nose and squint his eyes. And I'd say, wait, we're going again. Because, you know, he was kind of saying, I'll bet you could do it better. You know, I had other talented actors. So it is interesting. It's an interesting talent that I do believe I've been given by God to self-direct. But I'm also a self-editor. Like, I cut myself out, too, if I had to. You know, it's hard when you make a movie. There's one big scene missing that was hard to lose, but you you want to keep the story moving, really. So you do what you have to. But did that answer the question, or am I rambling?
No.
I feel like I'm rambling.
No, that was beautiful. Actually, that was really, really interesting, because I think even if we can't, you know, many of us, we can't relate to sort of the editing process of a film, but we can all relate to having to take criticism, right? And having to try to get the best out of ourselves. So that's a really interesting response. I appreciate that.
Well, and I'll tell you, you know, as an actor, you do humble yourself. I'm always when I meet immutable and tractable people, I think, I don't have that luxury, especially if, say, like, you know, if Andy Griffith said, Danny, this might be funnier, believe me, I listened. Don Johnson, Tommy Lee Jones. I mean, I could go, you know, I could drop names all day. But the point I'm making, and it's not generally the actors who direct you, obviously, but I'm saying that you've got to be open to another, as an actor, that's my job, is to, if I'm doing orange and a director says apple, I got to give him apple. And I might say, can I give you apple and then do one more of my orange just so you have it in case you want it later? But you really do have to be malleable as an actor. And thus, I think hopefully I'm more malleable as a person. I do, although I have my OCD qualities, I do also try to go with the flow when it's necessary.
I love it. That's the voice of Daniel Roebuck, the longtime Hollywood staple with us. Matlock, Lost, The Man in the High Castle, The Fugitive. He's the co-writer, the co-star, and the director of the brand new film Getting Grace in theaters across America as you hear this, and then coming to DVD and a Netflix screen near you before you know it. I want to talk about faith a little bit deeper in just a moment. But in the film, the title really describes the narrative arc of the movie beautifully, which is really multiple characters sort of battle in a way against receiving grace, right? Can you take us inside that?
Yes, yes. Thank you for, gosh, please, honestly, hang out with me. You're so smart. So, because I'm, you know, as I've been showing the film, if people are getting that. Because it is a fable. I mean, it's an allegory. And I chose to make this film an allegory and not, I chose to not directly directly teach. I chose to teach through a parable. You know, and I, by the way, there's very good, you know, very good example of that you can find in this big book. It's on your desk at home. So the movie is, yes, it's about taking these characters who do seem immovable and moving them. And you know, it's not about works righteousness. It's about God's grace is available. And this character goes in and people, some fight against her, some try to do it their way. But ultimately they get they get a perspective that's different than the one that they had in the beginning of the movie. And that's what the movie's about. And I think that Jeff laid out all the characters beautifully, but in our rewriting, that's really what we came to, was how does everybody move?
It was very clear that you really wanted to weave this redemption and this hope into your directorial debut. I mean, why was that so significant to you?
Well, because I just think we're there's a malaise in the world. We're stuck. I mean, we're just stuck, and people have stopped listening to each other. And you know, it's hard to wake up every day. When we started making this movie, my call to action was live every day like it's your last. Well, that I don't agree with that. Now that the more I thought about it, like if you lived every day like it's your last, you know, you would call people that you haven't talked to in 30 years and say, I'm sorry. And you would, you know, you would say, I'm going to, you know, eat this food that I haven't eaten. Now I'd say we've got to live every day like it's our first. And that's really what we're talking about here, is how do you wake up, Ryan, and approach every day without digging in? How do you wake up with no anger? How do you wake up with no aggression, no anxiety, no worry, no fear? And that's really the gift God gives us every day. You know, the sun comes up the next day, and he gives us a shot at it again. So it's thematically in the movie, the sun is rising. That's also a very, you know, non-subtle metaphor. The sun is rising. The Son of God is rising. I wanted to put it in the movie, and I, you know, everybody was kind of surprised that I made this kind of movie first, but I really only want to make these kinds of movies. I mean, I got kids, you know, so I might take money from the man to make their movie. But if I'm writing it, producing it, directing it, and starring in it, I will tell you it's going to have faith value, and it's going to have a positive message with the hope. I'm not so arrogant that I think I could change the world with a movie I make, but I am an artist and would like to touch people with the art I make. So
that's awesome.
If I could just touch them a little, then I've done my job, I think.
That's tremendous. Daniel Roebuck is with us, the longtime Hollywood staple, and his new movie is called Getting Grace, in theaters as you hear this weekend all across America, and then coming soon to DVD and a Netflix screen near you. This is so interesting because you have been described as sort of the little movie that could. You're winning awards left and right from film festivals. But, you know, I don't think that even those of us who really love beautifully made movies really understand everything that has to come together to make a project like this happen. From a financial and technical standpoint, just how huge of an undertaking was this?
Well, you've got to imagine, this. I'm not even kidding. When you have someone invest in a movie, there's special paperwork that essentially says, I acknowledge that the guy I'm giving this money to is a moron. And by giving him this money, I acknowledge that I'm a moron, because the chance that the first moron is going to give me, the second moron, his money back are so slim. Like, you know, you can't, because you can't look someone in the eye and say, oh, you'll make your money back. So it's, as an investment, it's an investment of the heart. It's not we're not building buildings. We're not moving earth. We're not investing in, Silicon Valley. So getting people to believe in your faith vision, is initially hard. But I got to tell you, I don't want to bore you with all the details. The first gift I got was a man, my friend Robert R.J. Morris, gave me the gift of seed money, which means I could start trying to find the other money and start assembling the working parts. And then I had a guy who was being kind of obtuse, who was going to give us money and made a lot of demands that were quite odd and not really in line with the movie that I was trying to make. And then I met a man on an airplane, and the man on the airplane turned out to be my prime investor, he and his sister. I mean, that's God's hand.
Yeah.
I don't know what else it is. It's God's hand. And in the interim, from the time I got the script 9 years ago until the time it came, you know, we're sitting here talking, I also I went through a change in my own life, which was initially difficult. You know, I was in a marriage that ended, and I had two kids that I wanted to protect. But everything worked out, and I met this new partner, my wife Tammy, who is a filmmaker herself. And so I, all of a sudden, I didn't just have this new partner in my life, I had a new partner in my filmmaking ideology. And Tammy said, when she, you know, she and I just had to sit down and she said, let's do it. And once I knew that I had her support, then I could move forward. And then everything, and I'm not kidding, everything fell into place. One investor led to another. And then on a technical aspect, I'm almost done talking. I'm just going to, you know, I had prepped. A lot of the people knew they, when I was going to do the movie, they knew they were going to do it with me. So it was a matter of saying, it's happening. Come to Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. And then, of course, my community absolutely backed the endeavor. And it is a love letter to the Lehigh Valley, which is where I'm from. And everybody in the community, and I mean everybody in the community, helped us.
That's a tremendous, tremendous part of this as well, that that we, with just about 3 minutes left, we probably won't have time to get into that much, but it really is a special thing, the way that you have been able to partner with your home community there, Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, the Lehigh Valley. It's just tremendous. But hear what please. I would be honored to hear you continue.
Well, no, all I was going to say was, and I apologize for interrupting.
No.
So what we did in our, I wanted to just say, I wanted to brag about my partners, my producing partners, who actually invested in the movie. The very first thing we did, given the chance, we gave about $32,000 back to our community. We had a charity premiere there, and we also had a kind of a premiere sneak peek in State College, Pennsylvania, and raised money and gave it back to local charities.
Hmm.
And that's, I found the right kind of investors. I just want to brag about the beauty of them, and that the first chance they had to make some money back, they all agreed that we should give the money back to the community that helped us. And we're going to make our next movie, The Hail Mary, in the same community. So we're all excited about that.
That's so cool. Just about everything about this can be described that way. So cool. Mr. Daniel Roebuck, the movie one more time, called Getting Grace, brand new. As you hear this, it is out in theaters all across America this weekend. It'll be coming to DVD and Netflix before you know it as well. And sir, before we say farewell, we want to know, where is the best place to go? We know you have a website that is a hub of information for everything Getting Grace, right?
You're a gentleman for asking. So I invite people to join us at gettinggracethemovie.com, gettinggracethemovie.com. And I also, we're on Facebook. And if you want to see backwards the crazy trip that we took, where we shared Getting Grace with as much of the United States as we could, they could go see Getting Grace on Facebook.
Hmm.
On Facebook, yes.
Man, what a pleasure it has been to talk with you, to get to know your heart and just your passion for this, sir. Very excited to see Getting Grace, the film, and really it was a tremendous thing to speak with you today.
God bless you, and God bless your listeners, and I look forward to catching up with you soon.
Thanks for sharing in the story of this latest episode of Faith Radio's On the Road. For more on today's conversation and the full podcast archive of all our episodes, look for On the Road when you visit myfaithradio.com.